And we're back. Andy and I had this wizard jape we thought we might do where we'd actually move our mouths and have no sound come out to drive Frank and Jeff nuts.
We tried it for a bit.
it was a bit boring.
Real world seems to have kicked in and done this. So you may notice some audio disruption to the previous session, for which we apologise. It's stuff completely outside our control to do with wires. The good news is the sound for the audio is on the recordings will be absolutely perfect. Full dulcet tone preservation is assured. So when the recordings come out, I'd advise you to go and watch those. We are very sorry for the loss in transmission, and we hope it's okay now. But we're going to press on with the next session before lunch, and that's all down to Andy and tiles and notifications.
Thank you, Rob. So actually, kind of appropriate that we had networking problems during the networking session.
It's the best time.
Yeah. So, tiles and notifications. We are currently in the schedule in the middle of day two. So this is going to be about a 45-minute session where we're looking at this particular feature of application development for Windows Phone. So tiles and notifications. Well, this is kind of one of the most interesting aspects of the Windows Phone life, really, because you know, it's just something that's pretty unique to Windows Phone.
It's a way the phone, it's a USP for the phone, and it's really very nice. I mean, if you look at my phone, it's got loads of tiles on the front, but one of them is actually the map location of this studio, because you can take things like that from apps and pin them straight on the phone surface. So I can just touch that, takes me to the hotel, to the studio, and to the station. So this is the thing you can use to make your app special, and making use of the tiles and the way they work can give you something which is on no other platform.
That's right. So you can pin tiles for apps, of course, which is what we're going to be talking about. But Windows Phone also allows you to pin tiles for your contacts, for web pages and maps, as you say.
Favorite music, the whole thing, Black Sabbath.
Yep, indeed. Yeah. And so this is one of the more exciting features. And you as a developer have got an opportunity to sort of partake in this and to create tiles and manipulate tiles, which is a great opportunity for your apps to really interact with the user in a really positive way, and it's really exciting. And the good news is in Mango we've got a lot of new APIs and a lot of new features in this area that really makes it very easy to do this, much more so than in 7.0. So we're talking about push notifications and live tiles. We're talking about the local live tiles API as well. So they're called live tiles because they are alive.
And the tiles. Sorry.
Because they're dynamic. The content on them changes, and they actually now even flip over, the can do, and you can update them. The content that you see on the tile can be updated, obviously, from an app while it is running. If your user is using your app, you could be updating the associated tile or tiles. You can have more than one tile per application now. You can update the content on tiles from the back-end service that you've got running in the cloud or on your own web server.
Or a background task can do this too, can't it?
Or a background task can do it as well. Yeah, that's right. So you've got lots of ways you can influence the content that a user is seeing on the tile or tiles that's associated with your application. And as it says there, it's a unique ability, and it's glanceable access to live information. And also, by tapping on them, you can launch straight into the app. So it's a very good way of getting people to use your app. So the 101, the basics of what a tile is, they are shortcuts to apps. You tap on the tile and you go into the app. That's what happens. They can be static, but it's much more interesting if you make the content react according to recent events. And obviously the built-in ones you'll be familiar with is like the calendar one, which puts your next appointment up on it. Then on something like the phone, you get the number of missed phone calls that you've got. So the wide ones, the double width ones, unfortunately, third-party apps, we can't use them. They're reserved for the system. But we can have one or more of the smaller tiles. Now, the reason why it says pin to start there in quotes is because at all times, pinning tiles to the start screen, or at least the initial tile, has to be done by the user. You can't do it from within application code. They have to go onto your application in the programs menu and tap and hold on it. One of the options that you'll see there will be uninstall. The other one will be pinned to start. And then the primary application tile will be pinned to the start page. And once you've got the primary one on there, then your application has the ability to create secondary ones as well. So it has to be user initiated. but thereafter, once the user has decided to pin it. And of course, if you want your user to pin the tile because you'll be able to give them better service, your app will be able to respond better to what they need, you can always put some pop-ups in your application when the first time they run it, suggesting that they might want to pin it to the start because you'll get these benefits, this kind of thing. So I say it's dynamic. So the content of a tile is built up of different layers, and you have some programmatic control over pretty much all of it. So a tile, square though it is, consists of a background image initially. So you've got a picture you put on there. And then overlaying that, you'll have a title, which appears in the bottom left corner. And then overlaying that, you can have a count on the top right. And that put that all together, and you end up with the tile that people are looking at. Now, in addition to this, actually in 7.5, not only the front, but you've got a similar thing for the back as well. So we can actually set the content on the back of the tile and it will flip over, and I'll be showing you how that works. So the kind of scenarios that we're talking about, popular applications, obviously the Weather Channel has a Weather Apps tile there, and then all these are a few different examples of some of the tiles. And the good thing from you as well is that if you offer a live tile, this is a powerful incentive for people to install your app. If you'll get good reviews, people will enjoy your app more. So it's a good idea for you to add in a good tile story. And as like I said, it's much easier to do in 7.5 than it was in 7.1. Primary and secondary tiles. So this is a new feature in Mango. So in 7.0, all you could have was the main application tile. And this is still true, can be created on the start screen only when the user taps and holds the application name in the application list. And then on the context menu, taps on pin to start. So the initial properties that you see on the application tile are in the application manifest, which is one of those files that you'll find under the properties in your project. Now, the secondary tile can be created from application code, and it says can be created only as a result of user input in an application. So your user must sort of do something that explicitly says, I want a new tile on you. That's kind of part of the requirements for this thing, and you'll fail validation when you submit to Marketplace if it does it any other way. So it's still got to be under user, that the user has to opt in to these things, because if your application starts peppering the start screen with new tiles that they didn't want, it's going to be powerfully bad user experience. So that's not allowed. So you still have to do something. The user has to have a menu option to create a new tile, or you've got to get them to. You ask them, "Can I create a new tile?" They have to say yes. So that has to be in. And then one day you can, in your code, use the create API, the tile create, to create another tile, a secondary tile that will appear also on the start menu, and you've got complete programmatic access to the properties of that tile. And when in your application, when it does create a secondary tile, the user experience, and this is kind of slightly odd perhaps at first encounter, when that actually happens, again, why the user must opt into this, your application will then terminate, and the phone will navigate to the start screen, and they'll see the new tile there. This is part of the experience. So, you know, creating a secondary tile is kind of a big deal. The user opts in, and then it actually will switch to show the start screen, and they can then tap on the tile to go straight back into your app. But there's no risk of tiles getting created sort of inadvertently or without the user getting to know about it.
So if you have like a game, have one tile to start the game, and then two or three other tiles from that game, which are games in progress. If I'm playing chess against Andy, and chess against Fred, and chess against Jim, the game could make a chess tile, and then the chess versus Andy game, the chess versus Fred game, as tiles on the phone. So the idea is your app can actually have you can like shortcut into particular ways the app's running, and the app can figure out from the tile that's hit which one it was and how to respond. That's correct, isn't it?
That is correct. Yeah. So in 7.0, the only way an app could update a tile was with having some kind of a web service running, or some code that's running out on the internet that uses the Microsoft push notification service to send something through. It's not precisely the only way. There's another way called a tile schedule, which I will be covering. But your app code could, there was no API for directly manipulating the tiles.
It was frustrating because you could see this lovely feature, but you had to go right around the houses and use network code and things to actually make it do what you wanted it to.
Yeah, it was kind of too hard. Yeah. And it's now wonderfully easy. So with the local tile API, it is very easy now to update tiles from within your application code and multiple tiles as well. And the another a new feature with the secondary tiles as well is, so in 7.0, that you only had the application primary tile, and if you tapped on it, it would always take you to the home screen on the app. Now, that's no longer true. You can actually set it up to navigate to any particular page in your app. So with this is you get a tile is directly tied to an experience, a user experience. So if it's a secondary tile that you've created for some feature in the app, it will, if you program it correctly, it will take the user directly to the relevant page, the relevant page of information in your app when they tap on the tile, which is obviously clearly what you're going to want to do.
Fantastic question. If the user unpins the primary tile, what happens to the children? Do they die as well?
They die, yeah.
So if the so that a user can clear away your whole tile, just by if I unplug chess, all my live tiles to the games in progress, they go as well. So these things really are children.
Well, I think that's right,
yeah.
Actually. We can test that in a minute.
We can test that, okay. That's live stuff. Good question, great question.
So, yeah, so here's an example of multiple tiles. You can create an update and delete additional tiles. And then when you tap on them, they'll launch directly into the relevant page experience. So you're getting very context-sensitive interaction with your user here. And we have back-of-tile updates. This is brand new in Mango as well. So tiles were only one-sided in 7.0. They now, you can also put content title and a background image on the back. And they kind of flip over at a semi-random kind
of. If you've seen a Mango phone, you will have seen them do this. That's one of the things that they do very well in the Facebook and other integration. They show you things on the back.
It's a nice feature. It looks good. Yeah. So smart logic, it says, to make flips asynchronous. So there'll be some randomization about how often it does it. So the API, really, really simple to use. First of all, you want to find the tile you want to update. So the here's the shell tile dot active tiles. So that gives you a collection of all the tiles for your application. Dot first or default, and then you can. That's an example of a query that's selecting a tile which has got the default title of from tile. So it will go and look through your tiles collection, which would be 0, 1, or more, depending on how many are actually existing at the time. If you find the tile, then you can update properties on it.
Another fantastic question, if I may interrupt, from Michael. Can you detect from within your program if you are pinned to the start menu? Can your program tell if it's been pinned or not?
Yes, you can. I think we come on to that in a minute. So,
perfect.
Yes, you can.
Thank
you. So I'm going to walk through a demo now to show you exactly how this works. Even remember to share my desktop. I can do this. So the app, as it stands, the starter app, is nice and simple, you're pleased to know. It doesn't currently do very much. So the home screen looks a bit like that. And we've got one button on the home screen to change the application tile and a second button on it to change a secondary tile. At the moment, there's actually no logic on there. Well, it goes to the application tile. This is the main tile, the application tile, and you can set stuff in there. And then you can set the application tile properties, but there's no logic behind that button at the moment. So we're going to do that now so you can see how the API works. So let's start off in that page that we just looked at, the application tile page. Go into the code behind, and we've got that empty event handler. So I'm going to stick in one of these newfangled snippet things. And let's just walk through the code here. So here's the shell tile API, and like I said, there's an active tiles on that which gives you property, which gives you an enumerable of shell tile. So this gives you all a collection of all your tiles. And it says the application tile, the primary one, is always the first one in that collection, always. Okay, and you'll get a reference to that tile, the active tile, even if the user hasn't pinned it. And you can set properties on it, If we find the tile, then we can set some properties on it. And the other fields on this page, just to remind you what it looks like, is you can actually set the title, the background image, account number. You can set the back title, the background image, and so on. So all that this code is doing then is if the text box count.txt, we set the new count, and then we set the text and this sort of thing. And here we're creating a new object, a standard tile data object. So this is an object you create to encapsulate all the changes you want to make to that tile. So here we're just simply setting the title property, the background image, the count, the back title, the back background image, and the back content. So the front and back properties of that. And then you can update it, and it will just do it, whether or not the tile is actually pinned. So we've put that logic in. So we can now actually run it. At the moment, just to remind you, we're not actually pinned at all. I'm going to go into that change application tile. I'm going to put Andy's the title on there. Green.jpg, which is, there are three images in this project. If you look on the right, blue.jpg, green.jpg, and red.jpg are built into this. Count, 23, whatever. And the back title can be Rob.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the background, what colour would you like to be, Rob?
Green.
Blue. Okay, blue.
I find I have a blue personality, so I'm told. Okay. Blue with a hint of yellow.
Right.
You can guess where the yellow goes.
And I'm going to put back content of rules, as in Rob rules. So I'm going to set the tile properties, and that will just work, even though we're currently not pinned. There's nothing on there. But now I'm going to pin the, if I can find it, tile sample to the pin to start. And those properties that I set on it have been remembered, obviously, by the system. If we hadn't set any, it would be the default ones, which are in here. WMAP manifest. Here's the stuff that goes on these are the default properties. So if you hadn't set anything in code, that's what would be applied to it. Background.png, account of zero, and text of just begin. So that's the default for it.
You're still using code snippet pasting that you you're putting. Oh, we've got a question from Ashwin about code pasting. You're still using the snippet.
We've had
manager.
More questions
yeah.
about code
it, it
snippets.
Is brilliant. You can download the power tool to make it. But someone is asking the question, I don't think the power tools work in the express versions of Visual Studio. So that can be a bit of a gotcha, because you're writing XML. But it can be done. Do some searching. You'll find out how to do it, folks. It's not too tricky.
No. Okay. Now, I'm hoping while you're talking it was going to flip over. So it is random, and at some point...
Yeah. We have had some questions, too, in terms of who decides when the tile flips, and the answer is the phone.
System. The phone does,
the phone
yes.
does it, yes.
So I'm keeping on talking, waiting for it. We'll come back to it. It'll do it at some point. Well, at some point, we'll be looking at this phone and it'll flip over. So.
And the egg timer will go.
Yeah. And that will go as well, yes.
And the captain's log will pop up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, we have no control over that. It's quite fun to watch. I'm trying to make it more interesting by making these things go random.
Now, the other one, which also doesn't have any logic in it at the moment, is the secondary tile. First of all, you can tick to display a secondary tile, and then we can actually go off and set the properties of it. I'm going to go and put the code in for that.
Another good question. Can we use animated GIFs and things on live tiles? And the answer to that one, I'm afraid, is no.
That's right.
You can only use PNG.
There you go.
It's flipped. There Woo-hoo. You go. Watch and be amazed.
Of course, I got the wrong way around, though. It's rules Rob, I suppose.
Is it? So, well, that's rules. More like it. Yeah, that's more like real life. I can go with that.
There you go. It's flipping around. So it's flipping. Fantastic.
Is there a limit to how many Marcel's... is there a limit to the maximum number of tiles you can make from an app? Is there an upper limit? I guess not technical. The user will just refuse to let you make them.
Yeah, that's right. It's because they're under user control. I mean, yeah, the user has to opt in. You have to have some UI that says, yeah, I want this to happen. Ultimately, if they want 300 tiles from your app, that is their decision. So,
yeah, I mean, you could make a live tile for different cities for the weather, so you effectively touch on, they could have about 50 cities there, wouldn't matter, it would be a pain to go through, but you could be there.
Yep. So, first thing I'm going to do in here is put in an on-navigated to event handler. So this method fires whenever this page is loaded and we navigate into it. And what it's going to do here because one of the features of these tiles as well is there's going to be two ways you get to this page, both from navigating through the app in the normal way, so starting from that main page and hitting that button, and then you'll navigate in. And in that case, we're going to set the secondary tile title to be from main, and otherwise we're going to set it to from tile, because the other way we can navigate into this page would be by tapping the secondary tile that we're about to create. So we want to be able to see when that's happened. So we're just going to actually write that onto the tile so we can easily find that out. So that's good. Now we've got the... when we check this checkbox, let me just show you again what we're doing here. Here's the UI for this page. So when we tick this checkbox here, the code that we're going to just put in is going to create the secondary tile. It will stick it onto the start menu. And at this point, and this is the user opt-in, if you like, is by ticking that box. Yeah. And at this point, the app will terminate and it will switch you to the main screen, the start screen. That is the behavior of this thing. Just so the user is absolutely certain this is really what they wanted to do. You know.
Good.
Let's put that logic in.
We have a question that you set the tile at blue and it came up green. Any ideas why this is?
I don't think I will have done.
It might be to do with the way the colours are mapped when you get your live meeting images sent through, because we have noticed that some of the colours change. Or it might be that the back's green and the front's blue.
I have got different colours on the front and the
back. Ah, okay, it does change colour. Okay, that'll be it then. If it's flipped, it will tell you the colour.
Yeah, that's right.
The question, if I can interrupt.
Yeah.
Can you put a URL on the tile, or does it have to be a local image? For the picture on the tile, can it be a URL? Or does
it can... It can be a web URL. Yes.
Okay, so
there is a limit with all these tiles. If you have a destination that's out on the web, there is a limit with this thing that... It mustn't take more than so many seconds. I forget the exact numbers, but it's got to be small and quick.
Yeah.
So yeah. But in most cases, yeah, and in actual fact, using dynamically created images is something you can do as well. I think there's been a few blog posts about creating them dynamically, actually in application code, but also equally, if you pointed at a web URL, you can have some logic running on your server that is generating
message of the day
generating images on the fly. Yeah, yep. That's right. So there's lots of different ways you can bring interactivity into this. So it's the same kind of thing. We see if that tile, because it's going to have a title on it, and that's how you identify these tiles. Have we already created this secondary tile for this particular page, which is what this first line is doing here? If we haven't got one, if that tile to find is null, then we create one. Here we go, shelltile.create. And we give it a query string as well that we can look at, default title from tile. And that is what we're looking at, this query string here. When the user navigates, this is the URI that's associated with this tile. So when the user taps on this tile, it's going to go to secondarytile.xaml, which is this page, in the application. And it's also going to stick some stuff in the query string, this default title.
So this
default
is
title equals from tile, and then up in our on navigated to, you can look for that. So this is where, this is exactly what this is doing here. Let's just put that down so we can read it. We're looking for a tile. If it contains default title equals from tile, then we know that we've come in through this method.
This is how you would know that it's the Andy and Rob chess game, not the Andy and Fred chess game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
From the live tile link.
Yep. So that's how we do that. And when we uncheck it, of course, what we want to do is to reverse that process. So secondary tile is unchecked. So there we go. We go and find the tile again. Go and look for it by title. If we find it, we simply delete it. So that couldn't be simpler. So there we go. That's that bit of functionality. And then I'm just going to drag in all the rest of this. The functionality on this page, which is all the rest of it, which is just setting properties on the secondary tile. Let's run that. Let's have some fun with secondary tiles. Change the secondary tile. So we've navigated from main, so that's what we see here. So that's what will go on the title of the tile. We can set a background of, which one haven't we used yet? Red.jpg. I don't know, count of 66. You can have a range of 1 to 99 or 0 to clear it there. We can put a back title on it. Get it the right way around this time. So this time it's going to say Andy rules.
One question while you're doing that.
Yeah.
If you press the back button having arrived at an application from a live tile link.
Oh, great question.
Yeah. That's a good question, is that?
Great question. So let's do that in a minute. So here we go, display secondary tile. I'm going to tick that, and immediately the app has exited, and we've got our secondary tile. And if we wait a little bit, it'll flip over. I'm not going to bother waiting for that. Oh, there we go. Welcome to the back of the tile. Back of the tile. Oh, I thought I'd set that. Okay. Some logic problem, but it's a flip. Now, that tile, this secondary tile, is associated with the secondary page. If I click on this, and this is answering that question just came through, it will open on that page. We can set properties of the tile. Or maybe this only takes effect. Sorry, yeah, so this logic, I was getting ahead of myself here. It just happened, this sample is written such that these properties only take effect when it's already up there. So I can put rules, rooks. Andy. And red.jpg, we set it. I'll do the go back in a minute. I just want to set this one. Blue.jpg and 77. And then we can just click these buttons to actually set these, and that will be setting those on the actual secondary tile. It's set it, and we could go and I'm going to hit the start menu. We can go and look at it, and there we are. The properties have been set. I'm actually going to go into that page again. And now you said, what happens if you go back?
Yep.
Now, what would you expect to happen?
If you've just joined something, it should then shut the application down.
Well, exactly, because there's no. If you go back,
there's no backstack.
Normally there's no backstack. So it's just gone in at this point. So you could, if you want, typically with these kind of applications, you might put a button on there for home or something, so that user can actually click a menu bar thing to go home and it will navigate directly to the home screen of your app. Or you could override the back key press.
Yeah, capture the back press and then make it go somewhere sensible.
And then go somewhere else. But you've obviously got to just do the logical thing by your user here. But yes, by default, here, you hit back.
It's like it was started at that page.
It's gone. There's no back history stack to navigate back through.
Yeah, okay. Lovely.
All right. So that's primary and secondary tiles. Andy rules and rules Rob. That's about right, isn't it?
Story of my life.
Right, yes.
Okay.
So that's the primary tile. We can unclick the primary tile. And I was completely lying. If you unclick the primary tile, the secondary tile is still there. So there you go.
Okay.
That's
so
it used to be. You learn something all the time.
Individually. Okay. So.
Yeah. I may look like a seasoned presenter, but I learnt this stuff at 3 o'clock last night. You know.
Don't say that.
Oh, getting away.
Giving away our secrets.
There you go. So we've unpinned our tiles. Great.
Some, a lot of questions about tile positioning in terms of who decides where the tile goes. The answer is the user is king. The program will put the tiles at the bottom for the next free slot, but they can touch them and then drag them round to where they want them to be. So that's,
indeed.
You have no control from your app of where on the screen the user puts the tile.
Indeed. So we can just pin a couple of things. We can pin Internet Explorer to that. That doesn't want to do it. Serialization tester. Let's pin that one to start. There we go. And pin another one. Setting sample. We pin that to start. The aforementioned Tidy app. Great sample that's been created by the team that's got loads of labs on App Hub. Pin to start. Then the user experience. This is standard, folks. So it will stick them on the bottom. And if you want to, the user wants to rearrange them, you just press and hold on it, and then you can drag it up and it will rearrange them all. And, you know. Put it up there.
Moving on.
Sorry, absolutely.
Don't get too artistic here.
Yeah. You're dead right, Mark. Let's get on to the interesting stuff, yeah. All right. Local Tile API. Just a couple of words, really, about there is this tile schedule that's been in since 7.0. You can also... you can actually set a code. You can run some code that will go off and fetch an image from the web, and update a tile. This is kind of it's probably almost obsolete in a way, given that we've got the local tile API now. But this does exist. You can set a schedule so it would go off every hour or every day and just pull another tile off a server somewhere. So it's kind of low-intensity interactivity, really, but not super interesting. There's a code snippet on how you use it. You create a new shell tile schedule object, set a recurrence on it, which could be one time or recurrent, set the time that you want to start, and then give it the URI where it's got to go and fetch it from, and then you just start it, and then it runs outside of your app, and periodically the tile will get updated, sort of, depending on the recurrence that you have given it and the interval. That's not shown on there. You can set an interval property on it as well. The minimum interval you can put on it is 1 hour. That's, you can't update every 5 seconds or something with this particular shell tile schedule API. So that's another way of doing stuff. Okay. Background agent. Updating tiles from background agent. You can, of course...
A whole bunch of questions about this, so thank you.
You can, of course, update tiles from background agent. And the only way of updating tiles in 7.0 was through the tile schedule I just showed you, or using push notifications. However, now, with the advent of background agents, we've got another way of doing that, so that's pretty cool. And it's a good solution. It's a good way of controlling shell tiles and being able to react to external events, because a background agent, even a small one of these periodic ones that can only run for 15 seconds,
can do that easily.
Could go and pull something off the web, say, oh, I want to tell the user about this, and update the tile. So very powerful. And I'm going to show you. Open the solution. I'm just going to show you the finished one of this, rather than labour this. This is the Tidy app. Highly recommended to study this. All the Mango features are called out in labs in this particular application. So the scenario here is it's a sort of to-do app. Allows you to maintain and access projects. Let's just pin it. It's already pinned. I've already pinned it to the start menu. And then we have projects in here. We can create tasks. I've got one project in here. I'm going to create myself another project, which I'll call imaginatively Project 2. I'm going to set that to be its color to be orange. Okay that, and then we can go and create some tasks, create a task, which I'm going to call task 3, and I'm going to assign that to project 2, tick, and then we create another task, which I'm going to call imaginatively task 4, assign that to project 2 as well. I've already got a couple of tasks associated with project 1, it's okay, and then we can go to the projects pane and go into a project's properties, is project 1, and down here we've got a menu option that allows us to pin that to the start menu. And as always, it's put it on the start menu. And I'm going to drag that up and put it next to the other one. So now we've got the main tile, we've got one for the project. Go back into the app on that project. This stuff I've just been showing you, really. And we're in that project. Here's where you can have that go home thing. So if we hit back now, it would exit. Or you could override the back key, but I'm going to hit the home key. We're back at the home screen. I'm going to go and pin projects 2 to the start menu as well. There we go. And click on that and go back in. And now I'm going to enable the background agent, because we've got a background agent, and the scenario here is that it's going and looking at external things, because this is a networked app, and it will update the number of overdue tasks. So for that, we go into settings. The show overdue tasks count on tile is ticked. That means the background agent will be enabled. So that's killing it. I've enabled it and tick that. And the background task agent won't run while the app is running, of course. No. So I'm going to back out of that. And then the background agent should be running, although I've got a horrible feeling now it's going to be one from before.
Well, we haven't got
much time. We should see the number.
So.
Yeah. So the number will update. I'm not going to sit here. It's done it. There you go. Yeah. Thank you. So that has been the background agent that has updated those the properties on that particular those particular tiles, and it's updated the back as well. So there again, we've got an example of the background agent is updating those, and it's making your app more alive and more interactive with your users.
There's someone asking about making a live tile timer, which it counts down. You couldn't do that because it wouldn't happen fast enough, I'm afraid. You have no control over precisely when this runs, so once a second is very optimistic. I'm afraid you can't really do that.
No, I'm afraid not. Because the periodic tasks run every 10 minutes, don't they?
So that's,
I'm afraid, that's as
that.
Good as it's going to get. Again, it's all about protecting the user experience. If you have busy code that runs too much, you're going to run the battery down, the user's going to hate your app, and the user's going to hate the phone. I mean, none of us want that. Rob, can you put me back on the slides? I've lost that toolbar.
You've lost your... Okay. It's nice to have a function in life, even if it's just moving Andy around.
Where would I be without you?
Where would you be without me? You'd be in your demo. That's where you'd be.
Right here. There we go. Thank you very much. So that's quick from the background agent. Right. Second half of this is about push notifications, which I'm going to have to cover in 5 minutes. That's going to be a challenge.
The news, though, is that this hasn't changed massively from previous versions of Windows Phone.
No, there's been some performance improvements, and obviously we can update the back of tiles as well, the new stuff, and we've got the deep linking into pages
messages,
within the app. So some interesting new features, but essentially the way you use it is the same as it ever was. So push notifications comes from a server. So you've got some kind of service that's running on a web server, something will happen, some logic that you have programmed to respond to, and then you want to go and update tiles on the main screen. So again, it's a way of updating the tiles for an app, but this time, rather than coming from a background agent or from the app running on the phone, it's being initiated from some kind of service on the web. And it's very efficient, it's built for efficiency, and it preserves battery life, so it avoids this model we've had to do in the past, where if you want from a phone app to find out if something's changed out on the web somewhere, there was always this thing that app really had to call home. Basically, it's very difficult with phone apps to actually send from a server to send a message to an app running on a phone. And particularly Windows Phone, the app probably isn't running, because most of the time they're not, only when the user's interacting. So this is a mechanism for doing that and sending updates to the application. So three kinds of notifications through push. There's a raw notification, which will be delivered only if the app is running. So you can send a raw notification any time, of course, from the server. But if the app's not running, it just disappears into a black hole, disappears. And the content of that one is completely application-specific. So the only one who will ever process it is your app, because an event will pop up and you'll get delivered this content. So, you know, it could be binary, it could be XML, it could be whatever you like. Only your app needs to understand what it is, because it's only intended for your app. There is a toast notification, which are the annoying pop-ups that
Captain kept sending, good old Captain.
So that pops up at the top, and that has the message has a specific XML format that you have to conform to. That can be delivered to in two ways. So if the app is running, it can be delivered to the app if you've hooked the relevant event. So the content can be coming into your app and you can act on it. If the app is not running, then you get the pop-up on the top of the screen. So use wisely. Don't send too often.
Don't go nuts.
No, like that Captain's log app. Never installed in that one.
Moving on.
And then finally, there's a tile update, tile notification. Again, specific XML schema for the message that your service has to send. This is never delivered to the app. And if the user has pinned the app tile to the start screen, the system can update it using the content in this message.
So the workflow there is user sees the tile has changed, touches the tile, and your app starts.
Indeed.
But you're never told when the thing arrives.
So improvements in 7.5, multiple tiles and back of tile support, and we've got deep toast. That's a nice concept.
I love deep toast.
Deep toast.
Sounds great.
So with a toast notification in 7.0, you'd tap on the message at the top of the screen and all it would do would launch the home screen of your app, okay? Which was good enough. But now, as with the secondary tiles and things, with deep toast, it can actually launch into a specific page in your app, and you can also stick stuff in the query string, so it can be very, very flexible about the data that you can actually transmit or communicate to your page.
So the toast could pop up, Andy has made a move in his chess game, and you could then touch the toast message, and then it would go into the chess game that would know it was the game against Andy because of the contents of the actual notification.
Yep.
That's the deep bit.
Yep.
Lovely.
Right. Yep. It's more reliable. There have been some performance improvements. And this is quite a good one, more endpoints per phone. So there was a limit of 15 apps on your phone could register for push notifications. Mm. And it was kind of, it just sort of didn't work. There was ways of figuring out if your user had already pinned too many apps. But in most cases, it kind of sort of just didn't work. And so 15 was kind of thought to be too low, and now we're allowing up to 30 different applications could register for push notifications.
See, I think, by the way, important point, nothing at all to do with the number of live tiles. This is a number of messages you can receive from the server that may or may not cause live tiles to change and things to pop up, correct?
Yeah, well, an app has to, when the user buys your app, in the logic in your code, you've got to register for push notifications.
Ah, right,
so the app will register
and
then say, "Yeah, I'm in for this push notifications thing."
But that doesn't affect the number of tiles.
That is capped. It doesn't affect the number of tiles. It's the number of apps that have registered on a particular phone for push notifications.
Okay.
So new features again: multiple tile support, back of tile support, the same that we've seen with the local tile API. So you've got all that flexibility. But no real programming changes to that. Bind to shell tile is the API call you use in the phone app. And then each tile has a tile ID, so you can just flag which particular tile you're interested in updating. And three new elements in the XML schemas that allow you to specify the back of tile properties that have been added in addition to what we had in 7.0. So there's a very small example of the new properties on a tile update. We've got the back background image, back content and back title, in addition to the ones we had before, which was background image, count and title. Deep Toast, I've just mentioned that again. Take users directly to an application experience, and it's standard Silverlight navigation. We already saw an example of handling that in the local tile API, exactly the same. You're on Navigator 2, will fire. You can look at the query string and figure out how you've actually been launched into that page, and your application code can take action accordingly, whatever is appropriate for your application. And that's what the new Toast notification looks like. In 7.0, all you could send was text 1 and text 2, which would be a title and the text. When the Toast comes up on the top of the screen, you'll see a title and then the text. But then in addition, you've now got this parameter you can put on a Toast notification, which is the deep
that's
link.
That's the deepness.
Yeah, the deepness. They should have called it that, really. Param's a bit boring. They should have called it deepness.
Deepness, yeah, lovely.
So there's an example of a Toast, an app icon. It takes the app icon, a miniaturized version of it, so that's kind of the one that's associated with your application, and then these two text fields. And it is interrupted, so you tap on it and it launches into the app. This complicated slide basically says, step one is your app has to register for push-enabled notifications. And what happens then is when that happens, it calls to the Microsoft Push Notification Services, MPNS, which is a huge cloud service run by Microsoft to handle all this stuff. And what the MPNS sends back to the phone is a unique URI, which is your app on that phone. It's unique to a particular phone to your app. So nowhere else in the world. It's kind of a GUID, if you like.
Yeah.
Except it happens to be a URI, an HTTPS URI. So then your app has to send that to the service, because your service has to know where to send notification messages to. So at some point then, your service will register it, put it in a table of some kind, will save it until it's got something to say. And then some logic will happen, which is application specific. Something happens that you want to update the tile about. And at that point, your logic on the server, it doesn't ever send directly to the phone, okay? So the only interaction between the phone and your service is this registration bit. Well, you can add other services, of course, that's application specific.
The notification service is free to use, but there's an upper limit in terms of how many you can send. But the idea is that, yes, you get this magic key from the notification server, you pass that to whatever it is out in your cloud, wants to talk to the phone, and it then uses that to tickle the Microsoft service, because it's got this URL, it knows where that is, and that then fires up a message inside your phone, if that makes sense.
It does. So what happens is that your service sends one of these special schemas, the raw or the tile update or the Toast update message. It sends it to the Microsoft cloud, and then it's the Microsoft cloud services push notification that manages the process.
Yeah.
And then it handles sending it to the phone. So raw message content, that, like I said, application specific, could be XML, could be binary, whatever you wish. Toast message has a specific XML schema and looks a bit like that, and this is the format the message you send to the service. And then a tile message one, again, specific XML schema, which is delivered to the app. Now, have I got time for this demo, Rob?
Does it take a long time? Go for it.
All right, I'm going
to
do it.
The time it takes to decide, we could have done it.
Yeah, okay. Now, what it's interesting, this application, because what I've got here is a Windows Azure project. So the service is running in Windows Azure. I've got it. I'm just going to run it up. Nothing much happens because it's a cloud service. It's running in the Windows Azure. Let's just build it first. Rebuild. Tell you what, let's not run this demo.
Okay.
I'll fix it for the. I've got an error. We're running out of time anyway. The demo which you'll get. You will need to install the Windows Azure tools, and you need to run it under administrator. There's a cloud service and a phone app that registers.
And it does all this stuff, so you can walk through the code.
And there's a third project. Yeah, there's a third project, which is a desktop WPF application, which sends messages up to the cloud service and causes the notifications to come out on the phone. But there's an error in that, and we're kind of out of time, so I apologize for that. Well, the demo, will when you get to download it, will be good.
Like I was saying, though, this particular mechanism, the way it works, has not changed from the previous version of Windows Phone. The whole notification pattern, the model, the way the things are passed around is just the same. So there's nothing new to learn here for Mango.
That's right. And you get all sorts of response custom headers. When your service posts to the MPNS, you'll get status codes and headers back, which give status to you about whether the push notification URI is valid and whether the message has been connected. And there's loads of information at that URI
it's
there.
Your server-side code.
Yeah. Okay, so a quick review of what we've seen in that session. The shell tile API is a really nice, easy way of manipulating the primary and secondary tiles. We've got the ability to set properties on the front and now the back of tiles, which is really cool. And apps can have secondary tiles. And both tiles and toasts now have this deep linking, so you can launch into a specific page within the app. But only the user can decide to pin an app's tile, must start this process off, and also your UI must have in some way that the user is opting into for secondary tiles. Push notifications is a server-based thing, which allows you to update tiles associated with your apps from the cloud or from your own in-house services. Raw notifications go only to a running app if it's running, otherwise they're thrown away. Toast notifications can go to the app if it is running, but otherwise display as a pop-up on the phone. And the final one is that tile notifications are used only to update tiles on the start screen. And that is the story on tiles and notifications.
We'll be back in an hour's time when we will be looking at XNA. I'm the after-dinner speaker, and so that's what I'll be doing.